Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
I remember just going to God, saying, God, like I've got to, like Jacob, I need something in my hand. And God says, well, if you were to change your name, what would it be? And I'm like, well, I don't know. There are a lot of great names. Most of the best ones have already taken. And then he said, what is your assignment? Why did I send you to San Diego? And it probably took maybe an hour of prayer. And I came back to God and I said, I really feel like my assignment is to awaken people to the reality of God, that God is living, that God is speaking, that God is still healing today. The gifts didn't pass away in the first century. The same power that was there in the book of Acts is the same power. Did you know the book of Acts is the only book that doesn't finish with an amen? Because in heaven, it's still being written. It's still being, Dr. Matt is in the book of Acts. We're going to get to read about it when we get to heaven. Right under St. Patrick, who found a nation pagan and Christian when he left, Dr. Matt is right alongside him. The best things are yet ahead. You want to hang on to this house. You want to stay here and serve in this house. But it was an awaken. It was an awaken thing. And so we bought the URL. You know, I thought I saw beautiful Pastor Paul Churchwood here. And was it like $3,000 or something? Some guy in Hotlanta, Georgia owned it but didn't have a church. And so we got it and sat on it from 2012, sat on it for 7 years. Seven is completion in the Bible. And then in 2019, we had no idea what was coming around the corner, but God did. He said, in 2020, it's time. In 2020, it'll be 8 years ago. Eight is new life, new beginnings, resurrection. He said, in 2020, you're to change your name, and you're going to be awakenchurch.com. And so the rest is history. So I want to give you three areas where I believe God wants to awaken us. The first one is God wants to awaken us to an awareness of God. I believe that there are people that drive by. There are people living across the street in little homes who are addicted to drugs, who are addicted to pornography, who are addicted to alcohol, who are addicted to gambling, who think that life handed them a bad hand, who have bitterness towards a father or a mother that wasn't there or was there. Or maybe a father's in prison and life has given them a difficult hand and they just think that this is their life and they've got to make the most out of a slack hand. They've got to make the most out. They have no idea that right here in this building, Jacob had no idea when he put his head down. He had no idea when he put his head down that he would dream and God would literally in the dream unveil the spirit realm. I want to encourage you, get the new album if you haven't already downloaded it, The Light. There's a song on there called Ladder Came Down. Ladder Came Down. It's my favorite song because most people put a ladder up, but this ladder, it says the ladder came down and touched the earth. The ladder came down and touched the earth. What was God doing? God is saying to Jacob, hey, dude, your life is not left to what hand man has dealt you. There is a God in heaven who sits above the justice systems, who sits above the courts, who sits above the police, who sits above the economies, who sits above the justices and the injustice. And there's a God with angels ascending and descending. There's a God who is speaking. There's a God who is promising. There's a God who is watching and watching over. There's a God who is committed to leading you out. There's a God who's committed to changing the trajectory of your life. There's a God who's interested in elevating your life. There's a God of breakthrough. People drive by, they just think it's a building. Oh, that used to be a furniture store. That used to be Ashley Furniture. They have no idea. We weren't interested in just, you know, converting an Ashley Furniture to make it feasible and usable and practical. When they were digging out the stage down here, they found that we hit under here a natural spring. There's a spring of water. We had to pay a little bit extra because we had to kind of concrete around it because they didn't want to stop the flow, but they said, right under your altar, there's a spring of water. I'm like, darn right there is, because It's the life of God. It's where people are born again, where people come into the river of God, into the house of God. This building was always marked for God. I was always a believer. I had to twist Dr. Matt's arm. Come on, Dr. Matt, drive onto the building. What's wrong with you? When are you going to catch? Oh, hang on. That was the other way around. Dr. Matt was telling me, Pastor, I just think this is, I'd meet people still now, and they said, we saw that. We knew it was reserved for a church. We knew it was reserved for a church. How many people are asleep and unaware? Sleep is unaware. Another interesting thing is Jesus comes to Jairus' daughter, and they said, hey, teacher, don't heal her. You know, she's dead now. Don't bother the teacher. And Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And then when he gets there, there's a commotion. Everyone's weeping and wailing and howling and carrying on. And Jesus says, why weep? Why wail? Why make this commotion? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, the Bible says. They had derision because they knew the child was dead. But dead is game over. There's no such thing as game over with Jesus. He just said, no. You think she's dead. I'm saying she's asleep. Yeah, well, we had Dr. such and such here, and he confirmed no pulse, no breathing. She's expired. And Jesus walks in, shuts the door behind him. Talitha kumai, little girl, I say to you, arise, picks her up. Walks her out and says, take her to McDonald's. And everyone's like, might not have been McDonald's. It was probably something healthier. That was a message translation. Thank you, Samuel. I got born again January 1986. I didn't know church. I didn't know born again. I got saved on a beach through a Christian Surfers outreach. And all I know is I was waiting for the prize giving. I knew I'd placed. There was six in the final. And I felt like I did pretty good. I wasn't sure where I was going to place. And I came fourth. And the guy who came first, he got to do a speech, a prize giving speech, and he got to do a speech, and so he decided he was going to share his testimony. He looked way too cool to be a Christian, and then he gave an altar call, and I didn't know what an altar call was. He just said, you know, everyone, you know, bow your head and close your eyes. Like, that's for sissies. And I looked around, and I was the only idiot without his head bowed and his eyes closed. So then I quickly kind of bowed my head, closed my eyes, but I did keep, just in case, but I was the only one looking around, and then he led us in a prayer, and the prayer was literally just, I repented of my sin, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I promise you, when I opened my eyes, the whole world was different. Everything was still the same tree branches, the same grass, the same blue sky, the same. Everything was the same, but everything was different. The only way I could describe it was like up until now I was in a dream and I'd awoken from a dream. That's why the word awake, and I just want you to know that whatever has brought you into the house of God, we don't do religion here. That's why you can have bum warmers in your offering message. Because we don't do religion here, because religion is a veil and a cloak and a terrible substitution for a real and a real life encounter and experience with God. We want you to experience God. He said, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? God is in this place, and I did not even know it. Can I just tell you, there are things that you don't even know yet that God is planning. There are things that you haven't even perceived yet. Did you know the Bible says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, heart has not understood the things that God has prepared for those who love him? Did you know Jeremiah 29:11? Most people love quoting it, but they don't really understand what they're quoting. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, is the NIV. But in the New King James, it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. God is not thinking thoughts about you. He doesn't limit his thoughts to just being about you. He doesn't just, you know, Gabriel comes up and says, what do you think of Lance running Awake in you? Well, he's doing a great job. I like that guy. One of the best things to come out of South Africa. That and Biltong. He doesn't just think thoughts about Lance Williams. He thinks thoughts towards. The Bible says that God thinks thoughts not just about, the Bible says, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, good thoughts, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Just like we have transmitters that transmit radio signals or television signals, in the same way God is broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He's broadcasting to you, champion. He's broadcasting to you more than a conqueror. He's broadcasting to you more than an overcomer. He's broadcasting to you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's constantly, and his hope is that you would just catch one thought, just one thought from God, one moment. One Jacob wakes up and he realizes God. He has an epiphany. He has a shift. He catches a thought from God and everything changes. The trajectory of his life goes up. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, our assignment from heaven behind this platform is to create an environment where God can bring an awakening to you, where you go, my God, God is in this place and I did not know it. God's got a plan for me. God can turn things around. He can save my marriages. He can bring me out of bankruptcy. He can restore all that the canker worm ate. Everything the devil stole from me is coming back double for my trouble. That's what God wants. The second one is God wants to bring an awaken an awareness of God's promises and power. God's promises and power. He says to Jacob, he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, your father, and the land on which you're lying, I'm going to give to you and to your descendants. He's not even married yet. He doesn't have any descendants yet. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. Like, this is like, man, what the? They're going to spread abroad to the north, the south, the east, the west, and in you and your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Like, talk about being an influencer, and behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke. He awoke because of the greatness of the promises. Can I just tell you, when you come into this house, the first thing that God wants to do is he wants to change the script that you've been living under. Every single one of us live under a script. Every single one of us live under a script. When the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, they get to the Red Sea, and God has just done powerful miracles, 10 mighty signs using Moses and the rod of God, and 10 mighty judgments on Pharaoh, and the final one being the Passover. And with a mighty hand, they come out. Now they're going through the wilderness, and they come to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's like, hang on, what have I done? That's my slave labor. Who's going to make my coffee? Who's going to clean my toilet? Get them back. And so he sends his army to bring them back. And when the ground begins to shake, the people get in fear and they look and they see the Egyptian iron chariots. These guys have been slaves for 400 years. They don't got no chariots. They've just got the clothing on their back and what they plundered from the Egyptians. And they cry out to Moses and they say this in Exodus 14, 12. Is this not the word? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? After 400 years of slavery, they got used to the sting of the whip on their back. After 400 years of slavery, they got used to being oppressed. They got used to being taken advantage of. They had settled for cohabitation. They had settled for dysfunction. They had settled for you being used and being abused. Their self-esteem had taken such a shot. They said, listen, no. This is the word. Just leave us alone. Don't ruffle any feathers. Let us serve the Egyptians. We'll just tolerate. And God says, no. I didn't make you my slaves. I made you my sons. And I'm going to bring you out with a mighty hand. There are some people here and you've been used to being a slave of drugs and a slave of booze and a slave of lust and a slave of your anger and a slave of your appetites and a slave of fear and a slave of rejection and a slave of hopelessness. I want you to know there's a God in this place who delivers you with a mighty hand. But you got to understand he wants to change the script on which you live. And how does he change the script? I'm glad you asked. With scripture. That's why it's called scripture. Pastor Samuel is learning a script for the theater production. He can know what his role is and he can know how it's going to go. He can even know, he can even tell you the end of the story. Don't spoil it for everybody. He can tell you the end of the story because there's a script. The script tells the story and you can see the end. That's why God put the scripture, because he wants to change it. He wants you to know that if you can live under a script, that someone said you're hopeless, you're useless, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, or you can come into the house of God and realize that there is a higher power and there is another word. You don't have to live under the word of your circumstances in Egypt. You can come under a new word. You can come under the word, the promises of God from heaven, because God is not a man that he should lie. He wants to change the script. He wants to change the script over your life. Did you know that you are a script? You are a script. DNA is a script. Deoxyribonucleic acid is a script. It tells your height, your eye color, your hair color, all your features. It's all in a script. Everything you do in life has a script attached to it. But when you come under the word of God, you come under a higher power. You come under a word that is eternal. You come under a word from God that wants to elevate, that wants to heal, that wants to deliver. I remember when my wife was in the fifth grade, she said she used to look forward to math so she could daydream. She said she wasn't good at math. And so the teacher asked her a question. She was staring out the window daydreaming, and he must have got fed up. And so he made her pick up her chair, bring her chair all the way down to the front of the classroom. And then he made her sit in front of, back then they called it a blackboard, but it was green. And they used chalk. And she had to sit down. And then he got the white chalk and he wrote above her D-U-N-C-E. Underlined it with an arrow, pointed it to Leanne, and then had the whole class for 3 minutes chant, dunce, 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 and just laugh. Then he wasn't finished. He then put some chairs around her to make it out like she was in a cage and then wrote above it, don't feed the animal. She went home crying. This is a teacher. It's also called abuse. One of my most embarrassing confessions is when we first got married, I didn't understand why when we would argue, that I could shut Leanne down like that, but there was an energy. It wasn't just words. There was an energy behind the words. All I had to do was call her stupid. We would fight and, yeah, well, you're just stupid. And it was like when the words left my mouth, it was like nothing would shut her down. And I didn't understand. Now I look back and I realize it was demonic. It was a demonic energy. Demons putting it in. Call her stupid. Call her stupid. Her whole life she was called stupid. When she opens up the scriptures, my. The things she sees. I watch her with my children. And then I began to realize it's the devil. The devil is a liar. He wants someone to amen whatever word. There are teachers. There are fathers and stepfathers. There are stepmothers. There are people. Maybe it was an uncle. Maybe it was a brother. Maybe it was someone you looked up to in the neighborhood or in the playground. And they spoke something over you and it became a script. Words have power. Words have power. How did I write the word dunce? How do you... D, what is it? What did we just do to that word? We just spelled it. We just spelled. Dunce is spelled. D-U-N-C-E. It's spelled. When a witch wants to curse someone, she puts a spell on them. Did you know every word has a spell? Every word has a spell. The word gospel literally comes from two old English words, God spell. Whether you like to believe it or not, you live under a spell right now. Our job is to preach the gospel, the God spell, to bring you out from under the world spell, under a hopeless spell, under a limited spell, under a finite spell, and bring you under the God spell with whom all things are possible. Jesus says, what is impossible, man, is possible with God. God wants to change the spell over your life. Now, not only does every word have a spell, but if you put enough words together, what do you get? You get a sentence. If I'm caught burglarizing a house and the police catch me on the way out and I go to the court and the magistrate finds me guilty, What will he do with me? He will sentence me to a term in prison. You get enough words and all of a sudden it begins to form a sentence. Do you know how many people walk into this house completely unaware? Unaware that there is a God who is speaking words. He is speaking words. He doesn't just say, hey, I'm God, I'm real, get down and worship me, I'm Almighty God. He is speaking. Why is he speaking words? Because he wants to change the trajectory of Jacob's life. He's got a plan for Jacob. He's got a plan for you. And what he's doing is he's speaking words because he's trying to break the sentence. He's trying to break the sentence. He's trying to break. Some of us live with a sentence, I'll never amount to anything. Man, you know, no wonder I got divorced. My pappy got divorced and my granddaddy got divorced. It's just inevitable. It's just, how can I be any greater than my father? I'm telling you this today. There is an anointing and there is a word in this house. God wants to break the spell. He wants to bring you out from under that spell, but he wants to change the sentence. He wants to change the sentence. I'm learning Italian at the moment. Buonasera, come stai? Bene, tutto bene. So I'm learning Italian at the moment. And do you know what the word in Italian is for word? Parole, P-A-R-O-L-E. One word from Jezebel put Elijah in a cave, but one word from the mouth of God got him back on course with his destiny, because God's words are parole. You may be in a sentence. You may be believing a sentence. The doctors may have diagnosed you terminal. They may say, well, you've got a genetic disposition to be a drug addict or to be a gambler. It's hopeless. You'll never break free. You'll always be an alcoholic. You'll always be. But I want you to know that God has sent his word. And the Romans understood that the word for word is the word parole, because God says it's time that the sentence is over. It's time you come out of that bondage. It's time you come out of that prison. It's time that you come out of those chains. It's time you come away from those shackles. It's time for your parole. Come on, if you believe that, give God a great shout. Give God a great shout. Oh my gosh, I gotta. Oh man. All right. What are words made up of? Oh, I love you. Letters. Letters. We have a New Testament because Paul wrote letters. Letters, he wrote letters to the church in Ephesus. He wrote letters to the church in Corinth. He wrote letters. Those letters became words. They became scripture. God wants you to sit here and read his letters to form the words that you believe. To create a brand new sentence. I want you to understand, I've got a sentence over my life. In fact, I've got many sentences I've claimed. Greater is he that is with me than he that is in the world is a sentence. God gave me a promise that every building you buy, I'll fill. So I have a sentence that I live by. God said that if you'll be faithful and if you'll be devoted, you'll eat the good of the land. That's another sentence I live by. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's another sentence. I'm happy to be sentenced by the Lord. He is the righteous judge. When you come into the house of God, not only does he send a parole word to parole you out of prison, to parole you out of those chains and shackles and out of that limited, but he brings you into a place where he uses his letters to form new words and form new sentences so that you have a different destiny. Come on, if you believe that, give God an amen. The last one, point number three. Is anyone catching anything tonight? Point number three, an awareness of God's mission and God's purpose for your life. Jacob is lying on this, he's just got his head on a rock. And then God says, I am the God of Abraham, and I'm the God of your father Isaac. The land on which you're lying, I'm giving to you. And you're going to spread abroad, and you're going to have more descendants than the sand on the seashore. And not only that, but in you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Like God is speaking to him about kids he doesn't have, about destinies he hasn't even dreamed of. God is speaking to him about an influence with a weight and a responsibility that he's never even thought of carrying, because God is so much above and beyond. He's the Ephesians 3:20 God. And Jacob just, he doesn't say, how's this going to happen? He's just like, man, God is in this place. How awesome is this place? This is incredible. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of all things are possible. I want you to know this, that God has a mission and a purpose for your life. And the first time you hear it, it's going to kind of rock you. The first time you hear it, Mr. Gagarin, you'll be going, wow. Wow. And even if you're dyslexic, wow. But then you get home and you're not in the kind of the church faith environment. And then you go from wow to how? How? And God says, you don't need to figure out how. Just let me rearrange those letters into who. God said to Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh 400 years. It's over. You're going to command him and you're going to bring my people, 2 million people. You're going to bring them out of slavery and bondage. And he's like, how can I? And God says, not how. It's who I am. I am who I am. It's who. Scripture I want to leave with you. Nehemiah 2, 7 to 8. Nehemiah 2, 7 to 8. Nehemiah is in Babylon. He is the butler for the king. He puts the wine goblet in the king's right hand. And the Bible says that he was in the king's presence. He's never been sad in the king's presence before because word had just come back that Jerusalem was all but destroyed. Its city walls burned and destroyed with fire. The gates completely ruined. And everything is just rubble. And he's sad. And the king says to him, why are you sad? I've never seen you sad. He says, well, how can I not be sad when my city and our temple, the temple of our God, lies in ruins? And the king says, well, what would you do? He says, I don't know, but I just feel God has got a mission and God has got a purpose for me to go and fix it. And the king says, well, how long will you be away? He says, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe 18 months. I'm not sure. And the king says, what will you need? What will you need to fulfill God's mission and God's purpose? And watch this. Nehemiah says, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. You shall not pass. There are spiritual forces that don't want us in Coronado. There are spiritual forces that don't want us in San Diego. They didn't want us in Boise. They didn't want us in... But we didn't give a rat's what these spiritual forces want. Because we have letters from a king. These may be governors of regions. These may be principalities and powers. That fat demon that sits there over Coronado because it means crowned says, you ain't coming in here. Well, listen, it ain't up to you, buddy, because we've got letters. But that demon has been winning because there are a lot of pastors that tried, but they didn't know they had letters from the king, and they must permit you to pass. And then he says, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must, everyone say must, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to his word. Can I just tell you, Nehemiah went out having in his hand letters from the king, letters from the king. Two kinds of letters, letters of protection and letters of provision. Can I just tell you that every king has two responsibilities, protection and provision. When you tithe, God says, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing, provision. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, protection. God wants you to understand that he has given you a book that is full of letters, that you can live under the letters of God, that you can fulfill the mission and the purpose. Everything you need is there in the forest. Everything you need is beyond the river. Everything that you need, no devil standing against you, no prince, no demon, no generational curse, no generational cycle of poverty, no generational cycle of dysfunction and brokenness is greater than the promises that you carry. My, when we carry the word of God, there is no higher authority. There's no greater power. But do you believe the word of God? Do you speak the word of God? Do you carry the word of God? Nehemiah had to take those letters and he had to present them. And the governors couldn't restrict. The governor said, man, we don't have the authority. We don't have the jurisdiction to stand against this word. We must let him pass. We must let him pass. The greatest beams and the greatest cedars in the forest, Asaph had to give up because he had a letter from the king. Come on, stand to your feet. I want you to know the best of the land belongs to you. The best of the land belongs to you. When you get a dream in your heart, when you awaken so that you start dreaming, God wants you to know, I am with you. I am for you. I'm leading you out. I've given letters to command the governors to give you whatever you need to permit you to pass. Come on, somebody give God a shout in this house. Ho! Ho! Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands high to heaven. In less than a month, we're going to be, or a little over a month, we're going to be 10 campuses. Like, that's crazy. In all transparency, I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. Nowhere near it. All I know is I've got letters from the king. When you have letters from the king, God will take your ordinary and make it extraordinary. It's what he does. It's what he does. It's what he does. Come on, if you got a Bible, lift it up. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today that I cannot fail in you because I hold letters from my King. Letters of protection. Letters of provision. Those letters tell me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every voice that rises against me in judgment, you shall condemn. The enemy may attack me one way, but he will flee before me seven ways. If God before me, who or what can be against me? I have letters of provision. God is my provider. He sits on a throne. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, as well as the thousand hills where the cattle graze. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible says that as a child of God, I'm an heir of all the things of heaven. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you give God a great praise?
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen. For more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.